Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Before the hero enters, people anticipate his coming. And that's what Advent is all about. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent here this morning. The hero is Jesus. And this is a season of anticipation. There are two stories we focus on. One is the hero has come. The other is the hero is coming. And that's Advent. It's a paradoxical joining of the already and the not yet. Advent, the word literally means a coming or an arrival, and it refers to our hero Christ's coming. We remember his first coming. We sing for joy over that. And we wait for his second coming with longing and anticipation. Come, Lord Jesus. So it's a sweet season of deliberate focus on our Lord's, our hero's comings. His humble first entrance and then his glorious return. Those two things. That's our focus again this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we do, in this season of gift giving, we recognize we want to focus on the greatest, the very best of gifts, which is you, yourself. There is no gift like your gift. And thank you for the opportunity to look again at this reality of Christ coming into our world for us. And I pray that those familiar words, God with us, would become fresh and alive for all of us this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Two Advent texts that we'll look at this morning. First is a prophecy, and then the second is the fulfillment of that prophecy. So Isaiah chapter 7 is our first reading, and then follow that up with Matthew chapter 1. Both of those texts in Isaiah and in Matthew focus on the birth of a son called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So this is Isaiah chapter 7. You can turn there in your Bible if you have your Bible. It's the sign of Emmanuel. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he, Isaiah, said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So the context here is that Jerusalem and Judea are threatened by neighboring powers, and King Ahaz, for protection, is turning to a foreign king, paying him a large sum of gold in hopes that this foreign king can intervene and rescue Jerusalem from these invading armies. Isaiah, God's prophet, tells Ahaz and tells Jerusalem to put their faith in the Lord and not look to foreign power, to human power. And then the Lord invites Ahaz to ask for a sign. And the idea is, ask for a sign in order to build up your faith. Ahaz says, I wouldn't think of such a thing. I wouldn't dare put God to the test. And we can recognize in the context that Ahaz is being hypocritical there. He's not being honest. And so, in response, the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, offers a sign. And we read this in verse 14. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Oh, there's a surprising sublime change of subject going on there. There's a leap, really, from the focus on 7th century BC hostilities, endangerment of Judea, to this future breaking in by God in order to save a ruined humanity. So the scope of things just expands amazingly. And I think it goes right by King Ahaz. But it didn't go right by everyone in that age. So this is a prophecy of Christ the Messiah, born of a virgin, called to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 years would pass between the giving of this prophecy through Isaiah to its fulfillment. 700. I find myself wondering, how could God's people not give up on waiting? Waiting is a part of normal life experience. And it's certainly part of our own experience with God Himself. We may wait in our own lives. We wait for things like the arrival of spring after a long, harsh winter. Or we may wait for sunrise. This is an autobiographical note. Sunrise to come after a long, wakeful night in a cold tent. Or we may wait for a baby to arrive after a hard, long pregnancy. We may wait for return to health after a long illness. We may wait for a prodigal son or daughter to come home. Those are the kinds of things that we have this aching yearning for. When, oh Lord, when will it come? When will it happen? Well, God has His people wait 700 years for Emmanuel to come. Some of them did not give up. Some of them held on to the promise. And finally, in the fullness of time, it says, God sends forth His Son. And we read of it in the Gospel of Matthew. So you can turn there, chapter 1. We'll read verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, there's the focus of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. We know this story from the life, actually the death scene of John Wesley, lying on his deathbed in 1791, he's grasping the hands of loved ones who are gathered around his bed and saying his farewells repeatedly, farewell, farewell, farewell. Finally, when he's at the very end of his strength, he speaks his last words on his deathbed. His last words are, the best of all is God is with us. God with us. It's a wonder. And so we'll unpack that, God with us, word by word. So we're going to look at three things. God with us. And then God with us. And then finally, God with us. Got it? It's nice to be speaking on three words. God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is God. He is Christ, the everlasting, the all-knowing, all-powerful, holy creator and ruler. This one becomes a human being, a baby. As the poet Richard Crashaw describes it, eternity shut in a span. A short span of time, a tiny span of human flesh. Eternity shut in a span. Well, the baby grows up to be a man. That man is God. Not a God, but God. God the Son. And he demonstrates that he is God in a variety of ways. He calms storms, he heals the sick, he gives sight to the blind, he raises the dead, he forgives sin. He himself, after dying, rises from the dead. Powerful demonstrations of who he really is. He also claims he is God. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father, John 14:9. I and the Father are one, John 10:30. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58. So he demonstrates that he is God. He claims that he is God. His followers believe he is God. Many examples of this, but Thomas, the doubter, after Jesus rises from the dead, calls upon him, my Lord and my God. Fans of deceased celebrities, such as John Lennon or Princess Diana or Elvis Presley, sometimes visit the shrines of these well-known people. And in effect, they worship them. They leave flowers, they prostrate themselves. Here's the thing. These worshipers never actually lived with their idol. If they had, I don't think there would be any worship. The followers of Jesus lived with him close up for 3 years, and they believed, they concluded that he was God. And they are willing to die for believing that he is God, and they did die. So, the infinite, eternal God enters in into our realm, becomes one of us. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God with us. What's the difference between saying Jesus is God with us and Jesus is God with us? Well, Jesus enters into the world. He enters onto the world stage as God, but it's a whole new manifestation of God from what came before. It's the great holy God in the form of withness. The glimpses of God that we get in the Old Testament are fearsome. They are intimidating. Think of it. Job encounters God speaking out of the whirlwind. Moses at Mount Sinai encounters God as a rumbling, shaking, smoking mountain on fire. And Israel is cowering in fear below. In the temple, God's presence is manifested in the Shekinah, cloud of glory. Isaiah has a vision of the Lord in the temple in chapter 6 of Isaiah. God is sitting on the throne. The foundations of the temple are shaking. There's smoke filling the sanctuary. And angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And in response to that temple vision, Isaiah cries out, "I am lost. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That's what we see of God in the Old Testament for the most part. Those kinds of things. Until Jesus comes, entering into God's presence, the presence of the Holy God, is terrifying. Martin Luther, before he came to know Christ personally, experienced that terror. He experienced terror before an unapproachable, high, holy, majestic God. He saw himself, and these are his words, he saw himself as a miserable little pygmy, dust and ashes, and full of sin, in the presence of this holy God, and I would say harsh God. That was his experience. However, in studying Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he finds that through Jesus, he can have a heart of quietness and rest in the arms of a loving Father. He says that he was ushered through open gates into paradise. Total transformation of his experience of God, from terrifying to near, comforting, God with him. Well, we've seen in chapter 6 of Isaiah this terrifying vision, I've mentioned it, that Isaiah has. But in the very next chapter, chapter 7, as we've read, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So God comes not as a pillar of fire, but now as a baby. Well, actually 700 years to come. A baby. He comes, becomes one of us. He walks among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And you and I can meet this God with us personally without terror and have him come into our lives. It's still true that it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10. But Jesus presents a different option. If we fall into the arms of Jesus, then we're safe. We're welcome. We're beloved. How can this be? You know, most of you, Jesus offers himself on the cross, bearing our sin in our place, and thereby takes away sin and takes away the terror and takes away the barrier so that we can draw near to God as a loving Father. Jesus is God with us, one of us. He's the caring shepherd who goes after the lost lamb and takes it into his arms. And to the weary and the burdened, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Matthew 11. That's the witness of God in Jesus. All right, so Jesus is God with us. He is God with us, and he is God with us. The birth of Jesus inaugurates a whole new era, an era of God with us. Jesus is God with us. He is a God with us. And the question is, who are the us? He's not God with everyone. but God with us. Who are the us? There are clues in the nativity story itself. Jesus is born into a poor, obscure family, Mary and Joseph. His birth is announced to humble outcasts, lowly shepherds in the field at night. And the shepherds respond with joy, and they run to meet their Savior. Jesus is God with the humble. People who know that they are owed nothing, they deserve nothing except God's rejection, His judgment. God shows what is foolish in the world, the weak, the low, the despised, the things that are not. God with us. The author John Stott, in his book Basic Christianity, speaks of three different responses to Jesus. Some people, and these are responses of people who encountered Jesus in his day, some hated him and they wanted to kill him. Some were afraid of him and wanted to run away. And others were completely smitten with him. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to give their whole lives to him. And it's that last group, the smitten, that qualifies as the us in God with us. They are like the lowly shepherds. They come as empty-handed beggars, nothing to offer, thrilled to receive what God gives in Christ. So those three responses, hatred, fear, smittenness, in our day, increasingly common, I think there's a fourth response, which we might best describe as meh. It's more a non-response. People might hear the story and say, sounds good, but it doesn't really excite them. Okay, cool, thanks, bye. As we move toward our celebration of Christ's coming, there's an appropriate response. Not meh. Not a lukewarm response to God with us. That's not reasonable. It's not fitting. You know that. A fitting response is wonder and joy, gladness of heart. It is a season to be smitten. We could make the argument that it's always the season to be smitten, but we have a unique opportunity this time of year, Christmas, to experience more encouragement around us and within us to be smitten and to surrender. Which raises a question, what form would surrender to Jesus take in your life in these days? If you need to surrender to Him, how do you need to surrender to Him? I think we can leverage this time of Advent and this celebration of Christ's coming as a special opportunity. Not that we need to wait until this time of year, but it's time to surrender to Him. And one other very appropriate, fitting response is that of longing. Longing, because the one who has come is yet to come. And when He comes, then we will always be with Him, always, and in a physical, visible way that's new. So we say, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Yes, Praise to you for what you planned, what you accomplished, and for the joy, the comfort, the wonder, the gladness of heart that you bring to us as we contemplate it. We say thank you for Christ. Thank you for God with us. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.